Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ.
Hey everyone, Adwa here again, and it's Thursday, July 30th. Today, me and my uncle, Nishant Mama, are going to see Spider-Man Brand New Day. I'm really excited, but Nishant Mama told me something before we left that kind of blew my mind. The company that created Spider-Man almost lost him forever because they went broke. And when they sold him, they were offered $25 million for basically every Marvel character. Spider-Man, Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, Black Panther, all of them. Sony said no. They said nobody cares about those other characters and just bought Spider-Man for $7 million. Those other characters became the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which has made over $30 billion. So my uncle looked into the whole story, and it's wild. So now, my uncle is going to tell you the story of how Marvel went bankrupt, sold Spider-Man for the price of a nice house in the Bay Area, and then built the most successful film franchise in history using the characters that nobody else wanted.
Okay, once again, thank you, Adve. This kid is becoming a series regular on the show. Okay, let's get into this one. In the early 1990s, Marvel wasn't a film studio. It was actually a comic book company, and business was booming because of a spectacular bubble. Collectors were buying comics not to read them, but to flip them, treating first editions and variant covers like investment assets. When that bubble burst, and bubbles always burst, Marvel's sales cratered. Debt started to pile up, and the stock fell from $35 a share to $2.38 in just 3 years. And by December 1996, Marvel Entertainment filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. More than a third of the staff was laid off. So to raise cash, Marvel started to sell the film rights to the most popular characters. Spider-Man went to Sony, the X-Men went to 20th Century Fox, the Fantastic Four went to Fox as well. Blade went to New Line Cinema for a flat fee, so small that when the 1998 Blade movie grossed $131 million worldwide, Marvel walked away with roughly $25,000. Look, I'm not the best deal maker in the world, but having a $25,000 payout from a movie that grossed $131 million seems like a pretty bad deal. But let's get to Spider-Man, because the Spider-Man deal is the one that defines the era. In 1998, Sony executive Yair Landu approached Marvel's chairman, Ike Perlmutter, about buying Spider-Man's film rights. Perlmutter, desperate for cash, made a counteroffer that in hindsight might be the worst deal ever proposed in entertainment history. He offered Landu the film rights to nearly every Marvel character still available, including Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, Black Panther, and Ant-Man, for just $25 million in total. Landu took the offer back to Sony's leadership, and the response, as reported by the Wall Street Journal, was, quote, "Nobody gives a shit about any of the other Marvel characters. Go back and do a deal only for Spider-Man." So, Sony paid $7 million for Spider-Man alone. Marvel would receive about 5% of movie revenue and a 50-50 split on merchandising. So, what about the other characters? Well, what Sony didn't want turned out to be worth more than everything Sony bought. After emerging from bankruptcy, Marvel realized that licensing characters to other studios meant watching someone else make billions from properties it created while receiving just pennies on the dollar. The first Spider-Man trilogy grossed over $1.6 billion at the box office. Marvel's cut was roughly $62 million. Sony kept the rest. In 2005, Marvel made a decision that changed the entertainment industry permanently. Instead of licensing characters to other studios like they did with Sony, it would make its own movies. The company secured a $525 million credit facility from Merrill Lynch, putting up the film rights to 10 characters as collateral, including Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor. These were B-list characters at the time that no studio had been willing to buy. If the movies failed, Marvel would lose the characters. If they succeeded, Marvel would keep all the profit instead of just a 5% stake like they did with Sony. Talk about a gamble here. And what makes it even more risky is that Iron Man came out in 2008 with Robert Downey Jr. as the lead actor, who was considered a risk because of his history with substance abuse. Well, the movie grossed $585 million worldwide. And a year later, Disney bought Marvel for $4.24 billion, which at the time seemed like an enormous price and now looks like one of the greatest acquisitions in corporate history. The Marvel Cinematic Universe, the MCU, has since grossed over $30 billion at the global box office, built entirely on characters that Sony was offered for $25 million, but dismissed as worthless. So now let's get into the Spider-Man deal and what Sony actually got. So a couple of interesting things. The first one is, have you ever wondered why there's three different actors playing Spider-Man in 23 years? I mean, there's Tobey Maguire, which, by the way, that series was my favorite. Then there's the Andrew Garfield one, and then Tom Holland. It isn't just creative restlessness of why there's so many. It's actually a contract clause. Sony's deal with Marvel includes a provision that requires Sony to begin production on a new Spider-Man film within a certain number of years, typically reported as every 5 years and 9 months, or the film rights revert back to Marvel. This is a use-it-or-lose-it clause, and it's the reason that Sony has never let Spider-Man sit dormant, even when the creative direction was uncertain. When Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 3 underperformed in 2007, Sony didn't take a decade off to rethink the character. They just rebooted it with Andrew Garfield in The Amazing Spider-Man, which was in 2012, because the clock was ticking. When The Amazing Spider-Man 2 disappointed in 2014, Sony struck a deal with Marvel Studios to share the character, bringing Tom Holland into the MCU, while Sony retained the film rights and kept the clock from running out. The movie we're going to see tonight, Spider-Man Brand New Day, exists in part because of that clause. Sony has to keep making Spider-Man films or they'll lose the most valuable superhero franchise that they own, a franchise that they bought for $7 million and has since generated over $9 billion in global box office revenue. Every Spider-Man movie Sony releases is both a creative project and a legal obligation, a film designed to entertain audiences, and a contractual move designed to prevent a $9 billion asset from reverting to a competitor. Marvel, for its part, has spent two decades building an empire from the characters that nobody wanted while watching his most popular creation generate billions for someone else. The MCU exists because Sony said nobody gives a shit about Spider-Man. The irony is that Spider-Man, the character that Sony paid $7 million to own, is now the most successful when he appears in MCU films that Marvel Studios actually co-produces. Because the audience connection to the broader universe is what gives the character his current cultural weight. Sony owns Spider-Man's film rights. Marvel owns the universe that makes Spider-Man matter. And neither can fully succeed without the other, which is why two companies that should be competitors have actually spent the last decade figuring out how to share. Okay, so here are the things that I'm taking away from today's episode. The first is that Sony's executive quote of nobody caring about the other Marvel characters is a sentence that might be the most expensive miscalculation in entertainment history. The characters that nobody wanted have now generated over $30 billion at the box office, and it turned Disney's $4.24 billion acquisition into one of the best deals in corporate history. It also redefined what a movie franchise can be. Meanwhile, the character that Sony paid $7 million for, Spider-Man, has become the most valuable when he's actually borrowed back by the company that sold him. So tonight we're going to see a brand new day, and so now I'll be watching it knowing that every frame hardly exists because a contract says that Sony has to keep making Spider-Man movies or they have to give him back to the people who created him. By the way, I will give Sony their flowers here because the Spider-Man movies they've created with Tom Holland and the Into the Spider-Verse movies that they made, they were all actually pretty good. I'm looking forward to the movie tonight with my nephews. So stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.